Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, darling. How are you?
Oh, good. It was perfect timing. I was sitting there waiting to see if you were going to log on. I was just dialing into the host, and then I saw you, and I'm like, yes, she's here. Yes, she's here. There's a God. There is a God, you know.
No, well,
I'm always so glad when
Allah.
I see you're on board. How are you, though?
Good. No complaints.
Okay, good. And it always seems like it's Thursday. Somehow I always feel like we're back again.
I
don't know. Whatever happens in between, like, it's just leading up to Thursday so I could be on the show with you, because that's what it feels like. We're always here. And I'm so
Absolutely.
Glad that.
That's always the way it goes.
And TJ and I have been to a lot of weddings, including one last night. I think it's been six weddings this year. So I think marriage is back.
A lot of people in love.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's amazing amounts of people. And it's just, wow, that's like really, you know, it's happy news, right? And
absolutely.
So you know who the person that yesterday, because you were at our wedding and you probably don't remember him, but David was TJ's best man, and he's young. He's only in his 30s, but he was the one who got married last night, so it was very nice.
Oh, well, congratulations to him.
Right, and it was really fun. So we have some listeners here already. If they want to talk to us, they do have to press 1, or we won't be able to pick up if you don't press 1. That's like the little bit of the thing that always goes on here. And, you know, it's been happy to see people getting married. We still have a lot of people with this, like, commitment issue seems to be a big deal still. So we're working on that a little bit. But I have so many clients are so brokenhearted because these soulmate relationships, they start out really strong, and then all of a sudden the person gets scared and runs. And I think we've been saying this for, like, 10 years, but...
Yeah, pretty much that.
It's really happening a lot. And, you know, I just keep telling these people, hang in there. We're not responsible for other people's behaviors. We're only responsible for our own behaviors. And so, you know, if you've been ghosted or people have disappeared, sometimes it's for the better, you know, because that reveals a lot of narcissism when people do this ghosting kind of thing. So I'm just hoping it stops, but it's really heartbreaking to see clients come and they just are so upset about things and they try to figure out what they could have done differently. And I don't think they could have done anything differently. When you're dealing with a person who's afraid of commitment, they're going to run no matter what you do. So we did have a few assignments coming up, eating some blessings and things like that. And we've been getting some emails from people saying they've had a lot of fun saying bless you all over the place. So that was fun to hear, you know. So these are things, you know, we want everybody to do your assignments when we give them. And remember, if you do want to talk to us, you have to press 1. Otherwise, we don't know that you want to talk. Okay. And that is true. We have a lot of listeners, but nobody's pressing 1 yet.
Nobody's pressing 1. That means that everybody's stuck with us.
Okay, well, that's okay, because if they want to listen to us, we'll just keep talking about, you know, observations and things we see. I just posted
you know,
something a little a little funny on Facebook because, you know, the wedding we went to was in the Hamptons, and anybody who's been to a Hamptons, so you have to drive the speed limit because there's nothing but police ready to give you tickets, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know
they
that,
love,
and I know that.
Love.
They love your tickets.
Love.
So I set my cruise control at whatever speed, and a lot of times it's 30 miles an hour, and like it feels like you're crawling, no doubt, but I'll set it at like 32 on my cruise control, and all these cars were like behind me, like either passing me, you know, trying to pass me, but as narrow as they could, it like flashing their lights on me, and you know, there was nowhere even to pull over and let these people get in front of me. And this is going on for like 10 minutes, making me very nervous. So I posted on Facebook, if you really want to like drive people crazy, drive the speed limit, okay? So, you know, or you really want to piss them off. So finally, all of a sudden, pulled over in the very side tucked away was a police car. And all of a sudden, I watched all of those cars back, go way back, and then not do that to me because I probably saved them all a ticket, or at least one of them a ticket, you know what I'm saying? So, because I know those little police are going to be hiding out. So please, sometimes people, you might want to speed and it's okay, but if people are doing the speed limit, there's no reason to like flash your brights at them all night long because it's annoying. It's very
annoying.
See,
I'm one of those people that like, you know, listen, I speed. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm a very, very
young.
Aggressive driver.
You're young. That's what we do when we're young.
Well, no. Well, I do, but I mean, I do within reason. But here's the thing. My issue is always this. If you're on a one-lane road, one lane in, one lane out, where there is no left, there is no place to pull to the side and things like that, then you know what? And you want to do the speed limit. Everybody just needs to deal with that, okay? Because you know what? They're the ones that are doing the right thing, and we are electing to want to go faster than designated. What bothers me is when you get into the left lane doing the speed limit, okay? That's when I will start to get huffy and puffy and beat my horn and flash my lights, because the left lane is the passing lane. So just because
That's
you want
right.
to beat the speed limit, that is fine, but do not prevent others from passing you.
Well, I always let everybody pass because I'm like, somebody's got to get a ticket. Let it be them. Go as fast as you want because they'll pull you over. And they'll leave me the hell alone. You know what I mean? So I'm always willing to do that. But what I'm trying to explain, them, people don't realize in the Hamptons, they do give a lot of tickets. So if you go 37 miles an hour in a 30, you're going to get a ticket. They're going to pull you over.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, they're going to give you one for 10 miles over because whatever. But the point is that it was just a ride because I pulled over as many times as I could to let people pass. But in this particular instance, I couldn't. And then I just had to laugh at the reactions behind me because all of a sudden you saw them, oh, my God, you know, like they would have all, you know, gotten tickets there. So and then they were like leaving me alone. So I was like, oh, thank you. There is a God.
Yeah.
But we do have, oh, someone did press, and I have no idea the area code 757. I have no idea where that is.
757. Maybe Virginia?
Maybe. And then the last four digits are 1195. So if you want to press that, and we'll see what they might have to say to us tonight.
All right. Cool. Hello, 1195. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys?
Hi. And where are you calling from?
Virginia. She was
You're right, Nicole.
And
all
the
right,
funny part about
I'm
it
good.
Is, the funny part about it is that we're in Hampton, Virginia.
Oh,
so
you heard me say Hamptons because we're in New York
right.
with the Hamptons. But do they give
right.
tickets in Hampton, Virginia like they do in the Hamptons?
Yes, ma'am. I have learned my lesson. So I'm the slow one now.
Okay, so thank you for verifying what I'm talking about because it's like, you know, if you keep getting on someone's ass and finding the price, you're tempting them to go faster than they should
right.
go.
Right.
And and the person who's then going faster, the first one's going to get the ticket. And meanwhile, you weren't the one who was trying to do it.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, I've learned my lesson. But this is my first time calling in. My name is Deanna.
Deanna, what a pretty name. So thank you for being a first-time caller in because we love the first-time callers. And you must have something really on your mind if you – you know, searched around to find us. So why don't you just jump in with your question and we'll try to help.
Well, it's not a relationship question. It's more
That's
like
fine.
A,
don't care.
I have a job. Well, I have a interview tomorrow. for a position that's in my area. And I also am certain that a temp company is putting with me with a company that I've been wanting to get with forever. So that may be another opportunity. I don't know. Do you feel like I'm going to get the one that's closest to me, or?
Okay, good. So you've got a career question. We love those here too, because look, people can't be happy unless they have a job, and I did get, and you know, it's funny because my phone deck is not like a regular 78 amount of cards, okay, where there's a one card of everything. This one has probably got 100 cards in it because I have some doubles and triples of cards. So the first card that I picked was an Ace of Pentacles. So that means you're going to get a new job. And it appears that you should get the one tomorrow. So this is just your first interview, or is it a second interview? What's the story with that?
This is the first interview with that company. The thing about it is that if I get the one that's furthest away, which is more guaranteed, that's what the company is. It's with the temp company right now, but you can become permanent. So I don't know if I, and this company is a major company, you know, so I want to get my foot in the door with that, but you know, I'd rather be also near my area. So
right now, notice we hear a lot of mixed messages. And if Nicole's listening, we know, like, if you give mixed messages to the universe, they oftentimes don't know what to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what can we do to help her when we don't know what she wants?
Mm-hmm.
In this instance, you might want to put this in the hands of God.
Right.
For you. But I know you because you're a very older soul. You've had a lot of lifetimes. And older souls are what God calls the donkey people. You know, you do the work of eight people. If you get your foot in any door, they're likely to keep you because they're going
to see
your talents. But a little bit closer, with, you know, and how much commute are we talking about one place to the other?
We're talking about maybe about 25, 30 minutes.
Okay, so either way is pretty close to you. It's not too bad either way.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I just want to be able to have advancement. You know, which position should I take with more advancement, you know, opportunities.
And both actually look very promising, like you have an ability to move up with either one. And funny enough, because remember I told you my deck's a little rigged, and there and this one, and I... There's only two Ace of Pentacle cards, a new job that I put here. So, and I shuffled them. The fact that I got both of them is indicating that either one of these jobs is really quite good.
Okay.
And you've got the Wheel of Fortune spinning, which is a five-year period in which anything you want is yours. And that's why I'm saying if you're not sure, the universe is kind of probably going to make the decision for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, basically put it out to God that you really want the one where you could stay, move up, and I think you're tired of job hunting. Like, you don't want to.
I am very okay.
There's nothing worse than job hunting. Anybody out there knows that? Because it's interviews and it's like it's humiliating, and you know.
And you know what's crazy? I have been self-employed. I own my own business, and so I decided to close it. And so now I'm like, I have not done this. You know, interviewing. Some first off, I had to research how, you know, corporations want you to interview, and you know, it was kind of tedious.
But you did your homework. I'm so proud of you. Because again, that's important. Now, I've been self-employed for more than 40 years, so I know like applying for jobs isn't easy. But back 40 years ago or 30 years ago, I used to do resumes for people and job counseling, just like a little side thing. And so I learned a lot about it. Not that I ever had to do it, but I certainly did get foot in the door. And so I'm glad that you did your homework, because there is a certain game that you have to play. And older souls are not such bullshit artists, okay? Younger souls shit their way. They get every job. They can't do it, mind you. But they manage to land it, because they're always saying they could do everything. And older souls tend to be very honest. So if they ask you, can you do such and such, and if you're not familiar with it, just answering, No, I haven't done it before, but I'm a really avid researcher and I'm a fast learner. You know what I mean? Just don't say, no, I don't know how to do it. Leave it at that, okay? Because then you're not getting the job, okay?
Right.
Say that, you know, you're an avid researcher and that you had your own business and whenever you didn't know how to do something, you found out how to do it. You know,
right.
So you want to reassure people. But if you just say, no, I don't know how to do that, well, that doesn't leave the person much, you know, much to work
right.
with that. And
yes.
You're really very well spoken and you have very good energy about you. So, you know, just be prepared for questions like stupid questions like what's the worst thing about you? What's the thing that, you know, you don't do well or whatever?
Right.
What would you answer to that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I can, you know, get comfortable. I can try to be comfortable. That's the part. That's the hardest part, being comfortable with the person. Like, okay, you know.
Right.
But
if they ask you
what's your
worst trait, you would say you wouldn't say I'm late. Okay, I come in late. You would say something like I'm a perfectionist. You know, whatever they ask you. And I would advise you to have some sound bites prepared, things that you want to get into the conversation, so you manage to work in those strong points of yourself.
Right.
And, you know, and the base, what they're looking for oftentimes is emotional intelligence. Can you get along with people? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can teach people a lot of stuff, but you can't teach them emotional intelligence. And having had your own business, you just want to show the skills that your business translates to this business, you know? So, and
that's exactly what I'm, I am, just now I'm more comfortable with it because I've gone on so many interviews now. I'm like, okay, I know exactly what they're looking for. And I'm just, you know, I get nervous sometimes, but I make it through.
Okay, everybody gets nervous. Remember, it's not an execution. The worst thing happens, you don't get a job. Okay, okay, so Nicole tends to land a lot of jobs. Nicole, do you have any, like, hints or things to do? And Nicole also hires people, so... you know, Nicole might have some insights into this for you.
Well, you know what, like Cindy said, you know, you have to prepare for a job interview. Some people just don't prepare, you know, so, you know, do your research on the jobs that you are, that you're seeking, you know, I mean, most people don't know this. Like what they'll do is they'll look at what, you know, what position is being filled and they'll match themselves to that position.
Right.
But you really should also know the mission statement, you know, or the objective of that company because, you know, it's very, very easy for you to say, yes, well, I can fill this position. But if you don't fit in with the culture of the company and you don't want to go where the company wants to go, you're not going to be a good fit. You know, so, you know, it's best for you to make sure that you do those, you know, to do that research on the company as a whole, not just at the position that you're applying for. You know, one of the things that, you know, like Cindy said, you know, that people ask, you know, I mean, they try to trick you with some of their questions, like you'll be asked, you know, why do you want to work here? And it cannot just be, you know, everybody else is going to answer, oh, well, I want to work here because I can do this and I can do that and I can do this. And that's great. But if you can somehow work in what that company is currently working on into why you're really, you know, why you're applying for the job, you know, it shows that that you actually want to work for them and that you don't just want a job, you want a career, you know. So, like, if you're in sales and somebody's got, like, a new product out, you know, it's really, really cool when somebody says, hey, well, why do you want to work here? Oh, you know, I saw that new product that you have, and I know that you're going to be launching it soon, and I saw some of the ads, and I think that I can, you know, I think that I can help you because I can add blah, 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 blah. You know, so you're showing that you're doing your homework about them. You know, same thing with the weakness question. You know, when somebody says, oh, what do you think your weaknesses are? You know, obviously you got to pick and choose that, but the best way to get around that question is to pick something that you've had trouble with in the past, but tell them more of a story of how you turned that weakness into a strength or how it's grown into one of your strengths. You know, this way you can show that you can identify, you know, weaknesses within yourself, but that you're constantly improving and that every time a weakness has been identified, you know, with you in the past, you've already gone out of your way to fix it. You know, and you're in the process of fixing it. So you never ever just want to be like, oh, yeah, I suck at this. You know, it should be like, oh, well, you know, when I first started out in this industry, you know, I was not so great at A, B, and C, but luckily over time I took a class, I did this, I did that, and now I'm pretty proficient in it. So you answered their question
right.
of what a weakness was, but you showed how you grew from that experience, you know.
Right.
So there's just different ways that you can handle your questions. And you just got to find out, you know, the pitfalls, you know, don't be afraid to answer them. But you also have to know your worth in an interview. You know, I had to interview
right.
somebody recently. And, you know, and this woman was like, you know, we were, you know, she was, it was just, you know, a regular secretarial position. It was nothing, you know, that required, you know, extensive knowledge or this or that or anything else. And, you know, this woman started out really, really on a positive note. But one of the things that she said, and this is another thing that I always tell people, watch out for contradicting yourself because you might not even realize when you do it. Because
mm-hmm.
one of the things that this woman had told me was, hey, you know what, I don't, you know, I'm a no-nonsense type of person and I don't like, you know, getting involved in like gossip. I just want to come in and I want to do my work and, you know, and that seems like a positive thing. Because you
mm-hmm.
see that they're not going to contribute, or because they're saying they're not going to contribute to a negative work atmosphere. But then on all of her other questions, she kept talking about one manager who just didn't like her, one manager who was just making things difficult just because, one manager who nobody liked. So inadvertently, she's bad-mouthing the company that she came from while gossiping about that person while telling
right.
me she doesn't like to gossip. you know what I'm saying? So, and people don't tie those
yeah,
things
that's a
together,
no-no.
But they're very, very important to watch. What, you know, never badmouth anybody else. Never try to make somebody else look badly so you can look better. Just make yourself
right.
look good.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And also, don't forget to interview the company as well, because that shows,
absolutely.
You know, they're, it's not just like, is it work? Is it going to work for them? How about is it going to work for you? So sometimes
yeah.
if there's a question that you want to ask about it, don't be afraid to ask,
right.
you know, because it also shows that, you know, you're a person that knows your worth and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to know what the kind of work atmosphere is there as well. So,
yeah.
you know, I'm very proud of you that you did your homework. And what I can see here is that closing up your business was the right thing to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, in case you're second guessing it, but again, it isn't easy to get out in the work world, and one of the wonderful
right.
things about working for yourself is you don't have to do this kind of interview crap, you know what I mean? But
right.
every one of my jobs that I had, by the way, is an audition, is an interview every job.
Mm-hmm.
Every person I do a reading for, it's like I'm auditioning, you know,
right.
I was an entertainer, every show was, you know, and is she good or not good? So I think I spent my whole life doing this kind of auditioning kind of things, but
right. oh, yeah.
but really, just be yourself. You're very well spoken. You have good energy, and bring it
yep.
there. And you know, bring in your self worth there. And because people who believe in themselves, like Emperor's New Clothes, then the other person believes in you. If you don't believe in
right.
yourself,
yep.
nobody's going to believe in you.
My husband told me that. He's like, "Where's your confidence? I can't believe you. Why are you acting like this?" I'm like, "I'm done. I'm just tired at this point," you know. But,
yeah.
So you said, let me just recap. You just said, I did take everything you guys said in. I did. And so you said I should be able to get both.
It looks like both jobs here. You know, it's not either or here.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be up to you to decide which one is best for you. But,
mm-hmm.
Again, once you get your foot in anywhere, you're going to do very well. So
yes,
it's. And also, I want you to trust your gut. If one of the jobs, you're getting a bad interview from the human resource person, that does reflect the place, what kind of human
mm-hmm.
resource people they have. Okay?
Right. Yep.
Like, even when you go to a doctor's office, if the receptionist is all nasty, okay, maybe the doctor seems really nice, but I bet you that doctor's not really nice because he wouldn't hire these people to be the, like,
mm-hmm.
the bad cops. So go by your gut, too. If one place you just feel in your heart, I don't know if I'm going to be happy here, don't second
right.
guess your gut, because our gut always knows. It always senses
right.
and feels.
And
so,
don't
and
be afraid to brag.
Yeah. About your
don't
you,
be afraid.
About
you know, like the confidence is going to be crucial, because you know what? One of the favorite questions that that I answer and that I have had to answer is flat mm-hmm. out, why should they hire you? What you can offer that
right.
other people can't offer, you know? So
right.
that is a huge opportunity for you to basically to sell yourself, you know, and you can't be like meek about it. Like, oh, well, you know, I think that I can, you know, and say all of the same generic things that everybody else does, you know
right.
what I'm saying? So you have to, so in those moments, don't just spit out what's on your resume. They can read that, you know,
mm-hmm.
give them examples of what makes you special and what makes you the best possible person and why you think you're the most qualified, you know, highlight your skills, highlight your knowledge, you know, let them know why you're going to succeed in the role and what your plan is to succeed in the role, you know,
right.
if you can't see yourself there in 3, 5, 10 years, don't even bother saying, well, you know, hopefully in 10 years I'll be over here instead. You know, they'll never, you know, entertain you. But you can
mm-hmm.
kind of turn that and be like, well, you know what, I'd like to be in this kind of role in 10 years. This way it could be
right.
with them. It might not be with them. They don't know. You know, but at least you're mm-hmm. highlighting what you're able to do. And
right.
you're basically, you know, you're selling yourself. And that's what you have to do. The resume is not enough. They kind of have to fall for you too. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like they have to know that you're going to be, you know, that you need to read the room and you need to know, like, you know, whether or not you're going to fit in there. And if you're not going to fit in there, listen, who cares if you bomb the interview? But if you're
right.
vibing with these people, make sure that you show them who you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, and again, the humility. Older souls have a lot of humility. They have what's called an imposter syndrome. They never think they're as good as they are because they're smart enough to realize there's a lot of stuff they don't know, whereas
right.
younger souls think they know everything. So they come across much more confident. And we've been told,
yeah.
kids, don't brag, don't whatever.
Right.
yeah. So
that's,
when it comes to
true.
Interviews, we got to forget all that our mothers told us, you know. Don't brag.
Right. Yep.
Come with a little more confidence. And can you call in and let us know what happens? Because everyone will.
Yes, absolutely. I want to hear that.
I will. I want to know, too, exactly what which position is, you know, is that's going to benefit my family. My husband, he's actually been kind of holding everything down, so kind of proud of him, but it's been hard transitioning. But I do appreciate, you know, everything, all of the advice.
Oh, and just know that you just needed to hear some women empowering a woman. Okay, like,
right.
Yeah, just bring us with you, and also a little trick for our listeners, bring in your dead people with you, okay?
Mm.
Because they're the ones that will pop a thought into the interviewer's head. She's the one
okay.
for the job. And later on, the person would say, I wasn't even going to hire you, but I don't even know why I did. I just heard this little voice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'll be your dead grandma telling him, hire her. She's good.
Mm-hmm.
So bring them with you, and you'll feel a little more confident. And also, sometimes if we're having an interview and if it's not going well and you're not being
mm-hmm.
respected, you also, to keep our dignity, we also have a right to say, look, I don't think I'm the right fit for you. Thank you. And just leave. Because some of my clients, they sit there and they feel like they're abused for 45 minutes in an interview.
Right.
I'm like, no, don't allow that. As soon as
yeah.
you feel that it's not going your way and that person is not, just say, I'm sorry, I don't think I'm the right fit for here, and just get up and leave.
I wish I would have done that the last interview I had, because the guy it's with the same company that I'm going to through a temp agency, but he didn't give me the position. But I felt like he wasn't even there, you know,
right.
he wasn't even engaging. And I'm like, listen to me. I want this job.
And he wasn't really listening. And also sometimes people get very frustrated because sometimes they're going into interviews and the jobs don't exist. They're just trying to figure out how little they have a raise they can give people and how many people are looking for a job to fill that space. So, you know, those waste your time and they're
right.
trying to see what's out there. But just go with your vibe and, you know, smile a lot and, you know, be yourself. That's basically it. Just, you know, you have a lot to offer.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, because we have a lot of people out there looking for work. So
I know.
We know the drill here.
I know. It's hard. It's really hard. So
uh-huh.
Thank you so much for the advice. You guys have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nicole, for your help on that one, because I know you're like more in that world than me right now. And, you know, and it's really hard because the human resource people, if they make a mistake too, their head rolls too. So, you want to reassure them that you're the right person, because you don't want to have them have any doubts, you know, so that's really, really, really important. So if anyone would like to talk to us, you can press 1. I can see one of my favorite clients, Alda, is listening, and Alda's been listening forever, and I just love her, and I read her this morning, and she likes to listen to us. We make her feel happy, and isn't that nice? She likes to listen to us. That's really, really good.
That's awesome.
And I could see, I think Andrew's on, and I know Andrew had said he might want to speak, but then he didn't want to speak, so... you know, he was a little worried about his job, too, and what's going on in his job. But
it's
okay. If you want to talk to us, we're here. If not, well, then we'll come up with a topic that we think maybe.
Then you're stuck listening to just us.
Though we might have a topic that might interest you, that's for sure. You know, there's a lot of that. We can always talk about seeing people a little more clearly for what they are, because that's what we've been – our mission is to – get people to be good people, but people that can see who people are, see through them. And I think, Nicole, you've gotten really good at that. I think you're really being a good judge of character lately. Do you feel that about yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm a pretty decent judge of character. I used to be a terrible judge of character, but...
Well, it's especially when we like people. That's when we're not a good judge of character, even now. They can fool us if we like them. You know, you can always tell someone, if you don't like someone, it's kind of easy to tell what they're about. But when we like people, sometimes, you know, they tend to fool us, or we don't really see all the red flags. So in this week, I think we'll give
a sign. Well, I think that that's what happened. Like now, I don't like anybody. So.
Well, now you're what the Unfixables want. They want you jaded. You see, now they've won.
I don't want that.
How do we not become jaded? Because that there is a spot time where you do go from being that seeing the good in everybody and believing you could fix people to being kind of jaded, and how you go back to being sort of innocent but in a very smart way is just to trust your gut.
I don't think that I'm jaded. I just think that I'm a realist.
Yes.
I'm a realist. So I just know that statistically speaking, the majority of people are going to suck. So it's really more or less.
7 out of 10 people are not all that great. We'll put it that way.
The majority of people just blow. Like, they suck. So, like, as long as you understand that most people will inherently suck, and this is just math, it's just statistics, most people are going to suck. So as long as you align yourself with people who kind of mirror your values the most, who don't suck, then you should be good.
Right. And, of course, what determines people who suck? We call them the unfixables, and the Dr. Jekylls, Mr. Hydes that eventually become unfixables. Those people are narcissists. They manipulate a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They're highly judgmental. They're not accountable for their behaviors. Oftentimes they have addictions on top of it. But these people, you know, tend to really see the world with a self-serving lens. And they believe their bullshit.
Completely.
That's why they win in court. That's why, we're convinced. So it's really, you're right, just, trusting your gut, seeing it for what it is, and also not taking it personally anymore, which I think, you know, you've gotten better at. I've gotten better. I don't take it personally anymore.
Yeah.
It's not about me. Then I'm thinking about me. They could care less about me. You know, entirely, you know, and, you know, it's hard lesson to learn, because older souls by nature are very good, and they've been brainwashed to be people pleasers, and they do want everybody to like them. And it's not easy to realize that, you know, not everybody's going to like you. And I used to find the irony in my life is I don't like these people. So what am I caring if they like me or not? Didn't make much sense.
Yeah.
You know, and it took me a long time, you know, to kind of, get used to that. I mean, nobody, you know, wants to not be liked. I think most people would prefer to be liked if they had a choice. But sometimes it just isn't a choice. We're not given that choice.
Yeah.
Now, we do have Andrew, I think, did press 1. I'm pretty sure that's Andrew. It's funny because I feel like Romper Room when she used to say, I see this person and I see that person.
I see this person, I see this person, and I see you.
And I see you. And they never saw Cindy, but I see Jean Steele and I see Karen and I see Andrew. So, and I see Alda. Okay, so let's see what Andrew has to say. Andrew went sailing with TJ recently, and TJ had such a good time with Andrew.
Geez.
So let's see.
Say that. You're going to cause a fight between me and my wife.
Well, because, you know, he loves to have people go sailing, you know.
Well, I know, but my wife has been saying, why don't we hang out with TJ and Cindy? And I want to go sailing with TJ, too. And every time she asks me to call, I don't know why I don't.
Well, you know what? Sometimes it's just everything gets in the way. But Andrew and TJ, you know, they've decided every Labor Day, like Monday or whatever, they're going to go out sailing because they've done this is the second year in a row. So,
funny.
Let's see what Andrew has to say. Hello, Andrew. You're live and on the air.
How's it going, everybody?
Oh, good, Andrew. We're so glad you called in because we got a million callers, but nobody's pressing 1. So we needed you to talk. And I see someone else pressed 1, too. Oh, good. Okay, so, Andrew, what's on your mind?
I felt bad you guys were talking yourselves. I'm like, all right, I said I wasn't going to try to call in, but I'll call in. But
okay, good.
What's up?
All right, so, Andrew, you said you're at work. You have some work questions. What's going on there that's bothering you?
Nothing's like really – I'm not really bothered by work. I mean, I work for myself, so it's all good. But, you know, I just been, you know, since I'm waiting for the love thing to come around – and I've just been busting my ass to really just try and get to the next level, and I feel like I'm getting there, but I just like, man, how much more do I got to do?
I know. Well, funny, so, because life is like that. You know, you start to realize how hard it is to actually scratch a living out of this earth. It's a lot harder than we thought, but
yeah.
You're in a very good period called the world, just beginning to open up for you. And the world is a five-year period where it's a little different than the Wheel of Fortune. The Wheel of Fortune, God kind of just dumps a lot of stuff in your life and you can choose what you want. The world is like you had to have worked hard to get where you're going, and now it's going
right.
to move in your favor. So money-wise, you know, it looks better in 2020, and I think it's going to take maybe 2 more years for you to reach your real financial goals. So be patient.
I know the lofty, you know. I just like, and I know you said once that like, you know, you got to learn your way in your 30s, going into your 40s to where you really start to make the money.
It's funny.
So.
And when you get older, it just seems like money comes from many different sources that you were really unaware of when you were younger. So
right.
It's really in your 40s, money starts to be better for a lot of people, and it will be for you. And as far as your love life goes, it's sort of out of your hands now. Like,
yeah, not.
Sorry about that, but the universe is like telling me to tell you, we're going to do what's best for you at this point and, you know, move your life forward because, you know, love is really important for you and the universe wants to bring that. And I don't know if you were listening in the beginning of the show, but we were talking about like this commitment phobia thing and people being afraid. It's really altering a lot of soul contracts. So many soulmates have been brought together, and one person or both people, but usually one person runs away afraid and won't allow it to happen or go where it's supposed to go. And it alters things, and the universe has to reopen new contracts and all of that. But you're going to be with a soulmate. It's a question of which one at this point.
Exactly.
And, you know, the universe hears what you're saying. Believe me, they hear you. They hear you. And
well, it's not falling on deaf ears, you know? Good.
But no, not at all. And a lot of times people get mad. Why aren't things happening faster? Why aren't they moving? It's really a lot. The universe is really engineering so many things. Like, if we could just look down and see how complicated it is and how much, you know, how they, Like, I have to be sure that one soulmate isn't going to step up to the plate within a reasonable amount of time before they bring another one into alignment. Because it would just be a disaster if, you know, they bring you one soulmate, you're head over heels, and the other one that you wanted decides to step up to the plate. It's like, who do you choose?
Exactly.
So the universe is really careful to not have that happen. You just need a little bit of courage. I'm glad you're throwing yourself into work, because that's a really good thing for you to be doing. You know, put yourself into work, make your money.
Yeah. I mean, I've really been throwing myself into my work, and, you know, I have a race in October that, like, you know, that's where all my spare time, like, I just came from open water swim in the Sound and driving home and to go run a couple miles and sit down and watch a little football.
Good.
No, but that's where I put my energy. So I'm not really weighing on the love thing. Like, and I think I'm patient than most people. Like, letting it just go around, let it just, whatever they're gonna do, let it go and go from there.
Right. And again, sometimes it's not up to us as much as we wish it were, you know. And what I could see is, you know, the person that you've been thinking about has been thinking about you a lot too. But just still afraid. I just see a lot of fear here.
I'm sure.
I mean, it's, you know, sometimes it's just this astronomical amounts of fear. Like, even today I had a client that came for a reading. At first she was almost going to cancel because she was afraid. All of a sudden she was afraid she's coming by herself and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, when she got here, but I told her, you know, you worried a lot and you were afraid, but the reason she didn't not come is because she's a person of her word. She said she was coming and she came. So I said, you know, you mustered up courage and you showed up. And it was very helpful for her. But we have to sometimes realize that people just, they let their fear stop them from doing things and moving forward. So maybe our little assignment this week is get out of your comfort zone a little bit, people. You know, it's not, you know, it's not that, I mean, imagine being that afraid to come here, to me. It's like, and then as soon as she was there, she was like relaxed and peaceful. So, you know, we all get scared and we have anticipatory anxiety or we're afraid. But mustering up a little courage is important. So let's pray that people find courage this year, please. A little bit of courage. And, you know, Andrew, you'll keep us posted because you always do. But
I mean, I've been telling you the signs and the coincidences that are just kind of like pretty wild, you know, for her being around. Like, she's close. And I'm like, oh, come on, he's going to show up or just going to dance around?
I know, because Andrew's soulmate, he's being brought in alignment to him where he passes her, he sees her in the car, you know, and, you know, the universe keeps trying to put them in alignment, you know, and of course, you know, she also feels your energies when you're near, but, you know, some people just get so afraid, and I just see really big levels of fear here still, more than I want to see in the alignment of cards here.
I know. Meanwhile, I see my brother meets this girl. I'm like, wait, why? How's he deserving? I'm like, he's so lucky. The girl just like stepped up. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm way more deserving. And you just get one dropped in your lap. I'm like, shit.
Well, you know, and it's funny how the world works that way. But, you know, with your brother, by the way, I think the universe felt like he really needed this more than anything. And maybe, you know,
I'm happy for him. He just left today to go to Mir in France, and, you know, she's doing like the world championships out there for triathlon. So he's gonna have a good time. So I'm happy for him. I try to tell him all the time, like, don't fuck this up. Like,
well, maybe. And also, you're teaching him, you know, that when you get these special loves, don't throw it away, don't screw it up, whatever you do.
Yep.
And
yep.
Well, thanks for calling in, and my prayers are always with you. You know that.
I know. Yep, we'll be in touch.
Okay, Angela Kuehl, thank you for listening. We have one more caller that pressed 1, so it's a 216. Like, maybe that's Ohio. I'm not sure. Okay, Angela, well, keep us posted. You know I'm always here for you.
Yep, no doubt.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Nicole, you want to press the 216?
Yes, I will press the 216, and I did not queue this up because for some reason, every time I went into the chat room, this number would not join me. So,
We never know why.
Yeah, I kept pressing. Yeah. Listen,
and we'll
we
never know why.
About a glitch yet, and all of a sudden, here's a glitch now. So, yeah, I kept
pressing
the chat room. It circled and circled, and then it just stayed held. So, okay, no worries. But here
and
we
we'll
go.
Never know why.
Exactly. No, I won't. All right. Just so that you know that we're speaking to you, the last four digits of your number are 1993. Let's see who's waiting for us.
Hello, my name is Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. Where are you calling
Hello,
from?
Patricia.
Ohio.
Oh, I thought it was Ohio. See, I got Ohio right, and you got Virginia right. Okay. All right. So, what's on your mind? Because you decided to press one, so there must be something you need help with.
Oh, are you answering particular types of calls or subject calls?
Any
or
kind, anything that's on your mind, we're here to answer. We don't have any restrictions here.
All right. I need to know, I decided to return back to doing PA work on films, production assistant here, and I'm doing it to gain more experience but also learn how to edit sound and video. And I need to know, I applied to 3 different films as a PA. Would you be able to tell me which is the strongest or which would show if I give you the names of the or the titles?
Right, that might help a little bit here. You know, it looks like one is much stronger than the other two right now. So might be. Do you have a gut feeling about one of these yourself?
No, I don't. Because they're going to be filming here in Cleveland. And so, do you want the titles?
Yes.
All right. Oh, let's see. The one that I have here, let me find it. Because I think one title has changed. Judas and the Black Messiah.
Okay. That one looks like you have a little bit of steep competition here. You know, like... It's not out of the question that you get it, but there looks like it's, you know, they had a lot of people apply for this particular one. And, you know, it doesn't look like you definitely won't get it, but it looks like a lot of competition here for this one.
Okay. So, the next one was The Minuteman.
Looks very good on The Minuteman. Very good on that one. And, you know, I would, it's steering a lot toward The Minuteman. And what's the last one?
My Only Sunshine.
Nice titles. Nice titles here. The Minuteman looks the best out of all of them. Doesn't look out of the question for the other two. But that one seems right now to be the one more in your favor.
Okay.
You know, look, you got a lot of competition here. Are you aware of that?
Oh,
applying
I'm
to the same
sure.
job?
I'm sure. What can you feel or sense the energy? Would it be, you know, working with the other crew and director? Is it a peaceful, harmonious environment, or is it more cutthroat and, you know, do this? Well, I know it's, those positions are either go for this, go for that. And...
Well, it looks like any one of these isn't an easy job by any means, but it does look like you would probably rise above any conflicts anyway, and just, you know, you're just there to learn. I mean, you're just there to learn, and
right.
That's the bottom line, that you will learn and learn a lot. It does look like if you don't get a particular job, it's because God's kind of protecting you from what might be not a very healthy environment. You know, so sometimes when we don't get something, you know, God knows better than we do.
Right.
And did you just send out resumes, or did you have an interview with any people yet? Did you have any?
I sent out all my resumes last week.
Okay, and you're waiting for callbacks or some calls?
Well, just some type of response. But in the meantime, I mean, you know, I have to, you know, work in a, you know, some job. I just finished a temp job. I mean, it was non-entertainment. And I mean, it served its purpose. It brought in some income for me. So anyway, and I'm also looking, I plan to relocate. Well, I plan to do that, relocated already. So I'm looking for something that would help propel me forward and out of Cleveland.
Where would you like to go?
Oh, I'm decided on the Pacific Northwest.
Okay, good, because that looks like a good move here. Again, you have a lot of people applying for those jobs. That's what I see, you know, like.
Right.
And unfortunately, we were talking about ghosting and relationships in the beginning of the show, but ghosting goes across the board and even job, applying for jobs. People don't even respond. You don't even get,
even
get an acknowledgement. It's kind of discouraging. It's very discouraging.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've gone through that. Yeah, even just with these type of jobs. I mean, just been here in Cleveland, it's just been very, oh Lord, toxic, gone through a dark night of the soul, discovered and experienced for the first time a karmic past life relationship who's a narcissist. So I've just gotten back my power. Because also I was just being so psychically attacked, not only by him, but other males in the college I was going to. It's just been, it has been an experience. So yeah.
Well, you did learn something. You learned, but again, for anybody job hunting or looking, don't take it personally when you don't hear anything back. Because
I know
it gets really discouraging. We don't even hear like, thank you for applying, you know, like whatever.
No,
but it looks like they have a lot of people applying for those jobs, like amazing amounts. So, you know, I could see when you're moving outside of Cleveland, it looks much better for you, a lot more happiness.
Yeah, I'm looking
better
at the end of the year.
You mean it's like December-ish or so?
Yes.
Good, because that looks like when you open up 2020, it should be a better period of time for you, including a better year, and just opening up connections with people that will help move your career forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, keep applying for these things because, you know, you just want to get your foot in the door a little bit. You know, are they willing to train? Because you said you need some training.
Well, I mean, it's basically you're probably with most jobs. I mean, you know, with other types of jobs, they probably want you to come in with some knowledge of something. So
right.
I'm not totally depending on that. I mean, this particular software that I have decided to learn, Adobe Audition, you know, I'm starting to watch and listen and write notes on from the YouTube videos and connecting through the library, the lynda.com, which is free when I go through the library and just start watching and listening to and the videos, but also start doing the exercises.
Exactly. In terms of YouTube and Googling, you can learn anything nowadays. So
right.
The most you learn, I mean, even when we used this for my play I produced this year, we used a lighting and sound person. They were interns, and the girl Lauren was so wonderful, but she had never designed lighting. She had only executed, and when she got into the theater, she's in college where they have like a modern, brand new lighting system. It's the same ETC board, but it was so old that she really didn't know how to use it because it was so old. And she just got on the phone and called the company and got somebody on there to tell her how to do it. And she did it, and she designed the lights, and she really stepped up to the plate, this girl. But she Googled, she YouTubed, she did what she had to. So, you know, you just, if you go in there with some knowledge, it'll definitely make a difference. But, you know, let us know what happens. But I could see they got, like, so many resumes, all of these films. And you know, where was it listed?
Here is they call it the Cleveland Film Commission website.
Okay.
And so, so like I said, I had done some other PA work, but it was for free. you have this town, they want you to act and write and do everything for free.
Yeah,
they don't want to pay you.
We know the story here, okay?
Right.
You know, we know the story.
So
you
it's
know,
like, okay. Yeah,
but
and
you know, sometimes
like
you
I
have
said.
To work for free until you learn, you
mm-hmm.
know. But once you learn, you know, at that point you want to make sure you get a paying gig. And that's, you know, it does look good for you, but also I just see you will get out of here and,
yes.
you know, and move away from things. And don't look back. Whatever you do, don't look back. You know?
Yes, yes, I'm opening to now new quality, peaceful, harmonious, loving relationships, and now I'm just fortuning next year that I'll start dating because I don't even want to do that here.
Well, especially if you're going to be leaving, you don't want to start something that won't be able to continue.
Right.
Well, thank you for calling in and let us know what happened. And keep applying for those film jobs because it looks like you're supposed to have a career in film. So,
well,
you know, keep doing it.
All right. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Well, good luck to you. Thanks. Bye.
Well, bye-bye.
Interesting enough, we had a lot of career things. And, you know, it all goes back to... It's very hard to be trying to get a job or breaking into a field, isn't it? It's not easy.
It is.
To reinvent.
No, it's definitely difficult.
It's really difficult. And just picking up the knowledge and acquiring it and learning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I loved my interns that I had for the play, by the way, both top of their class, you know, and they were the sweetest things. They asked if they could work with me again, which I thought was the sweetest compliment from young people, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they were fast to learn, and you know, they were just so eager to learn, and so I was so glad to have them. And meanwhile, the more experienced people, trying to get them to be responsible, like after a while I said, I'd be better off with interns that know something and I can like get them to do what they need to do than more experienced people that weren't returning my calls, that were ghosting me. So it works, ghosting works every way, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does.
And once the people
well,
go
you know
to me or didn't answer me, I was like, hell with that. I have no patience with that. It's like,
yeah. Well, another thing that she could do, too, though, and a lot of people don't realize this, like, you know, they think about production work and they automatically think of, you know, just PAs and ADs and you know, things like that. But, I mean, you look into the local union, you know, I mean, and see what entertainment unions are taking applicants and, you know, put yourself on a list for day work and things like that. And, you know, it might not be PA work per se, but you can still get yourself a position or whatever, like my wife did, you know, she put herself on there and was kind of like, you know, oh, hey, you know, I'm available for work if you have anything. And, you know, now she's been on, you know, she's been on FBI for 2 seasons now, you know, I mean, and, you know, on top of the other work that she did in between when she did Elementary and, you know, she did a couple of movies in between and things like that. And that was all set dressing, but they've got set designers, they've got set dressers, they have, you know, what's called on set, where you're just basically at the disposal of the actors and the ADs and things like that, you know, and they have the production assistants and everything else. So just because it's not the title that you might be interested in, there might still be a local union that needs hands. So it might start out as day work, and if you impress them enough, you might be able to you know, convince them to keep you on more long term.
Right, exactly. It's getting the foot in the door, and that's very good because that people don't realize you just got to, you know, give it a try. And, you know, learning things like editing and film things, sometimes you do have to, like, work pretty cheap at first till you learn it, but eventually you can learn it. But again, like she's saying, start with something like that because it is amazing how your wife just got
yeah.
her foot in that door and she's been doing
yep.
really, really great. You
yep,
know, so
absolutely. She's very happy doing what she's doing. So.
Well, because she's kind of creative, so she has to be surrounded near things that are creative, you know.
Absolutely.
And you know, be with a little more fun people. So
yes.
I'm so glad we had all our callers today. A lot was career-wise. And,
yeah.
again, don't forget to call in next week. We're here for you. And have a great week. And, Nicole, thank you for – always I have to call you in with the career stuff because, like, that's like – you've managed to, like, reinvent yourself several times. And, you know, and it's great that you can help our listeners learn too. Well, thank you all for
It is my pleasure to help everybody.
Oh, of course. And thank you for all for listening, and we'll all speak next week. Bye, Nicole.
Bye,
have a great week.
Goodbye, Cindy.